Y'all gonna think I'm crazy, and some of you already know that I am. I told Mrs. McConnell I was gonna do this, and she told me I'd lost my mind. Some of y'all are just gonna have to bear with me. This is gonna be painful for some of you. Do you remember as a kid playing Simon Says? These young guys are looking at me like I have lost my mind. Do y'all know what that game is? So remember, because we're going to play Simon Says this morning. Yeah. You remember when I say Simon Says, you do it. If I don't say Simon Says, then don't do it, okay? So here we go. Simon Says, clap your hands. Simon Says, stop. Simon Says, touch your nose. Simon Says, stop. Simon Says, raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. Oh. Simon Says, put your hands down. Following God's will is remarkably like Simon Says. Because you can be focused on trying to do God's will, on trying to do what Simon says, and the longer it goes on, you get distracted for just a little bit. Anybody ever get out of Simon Says and you, oh, I can't believe that. I was listening. I was trying so hard. And then for a second, I blinked. And my mind wandered, and I'm not in God's will anymore. There's another group of you. I was in this group as a kid. When you played Simon Says, did you ever just not do it just because you didn't want to play anymore? Because you didn't like somebody telling you what to do? I got out of Simon Says, I just stopped doing it because I don't want to. It's just dumb. There's a group of us who, if you're not careful, you stop following God's will because you just don't want to do it anymore. Right? I don't want to do that. So I'm not going that way. I want to go this way. Either one, whether you're outside of God's will by accident because you lost focus for a second, or you went your own way because you didn't want to go in God's path anymore, did you know God still loves you? Either way, God still loves you. And the remarkable thing about following God and being in His will today is whether you blinked for a second and you're out of Simon Says, or you stopped because you didn't want to do it, God will welcome you back with a repentant heart. All you have to do is say, I'm sorry. See, when we were in school and we were playing Simon Says, we always did it for a while and then we would start over so that everybody who got out could get back in. God starts over every day. And as we talk about love reigns, the fact of the matter is, last week we looked at our past and today we're going to look at our present. We're going to look at today, and God loves you today, and He told us to live today, to forget about tomorrow. You cannot change it, and you have no control over the future. So whether you accidentally got out of Simon Says yesterday, or you got out on purpose, He's welcoming you in today. It starts over. God has created a system for our benefit that every day is new. Every day is new, and He wants us in. But here's the problem for some of us. It's like a story I heard of a wealthy young man who had an incredibly beautiful house. Each room was more beautiful than the other, with chandeliers on the ceiling and murals on the wall, and lots of bedrooms. And he had a knock at the door one day, and it was Jesus. And he was so excited to see Jesus. He took him to the finest room in his house. He opened the door and he said, "Jesus, this is all of yours. I want you to be comfortable. You are my Lord." And Jesus went in and he closed the door. And the man went about his life. And that night, there was a pounding at his door in the middle of the night. And he went downstairs and he opened the door and it was Satan. And Satan said, "I am here for you." And the man slammed the door. But just before he did, Satan put his foot in the door. And he struggled and struggled and struggled to get the door shut. And finally he did. And as he's on his way back upstairs, he's thinking to himself, I got Jesus upstairs in my finest room and Satan at my front door. Why didn't Jesus help me? He went to sleep. He woke up the next day. He went about his life. That night, about midnight, there was another pounding at his door, and it was worse than ever. And when he opened the door, there was Satan and multiple demons with him. And he said, "We're here for you." And the man struggled to get the door shut. For 3 hours, he struggled and he struggled and he struggled. And finally, he got the door shut. And he was so exhausted, he collapsed on the couch. And as he was going to sleep, he was thinking, "Why didn't Jesus help me?" The next morning, he said, "I have to confront him. I want to know, why didn't Jesus help me?" So he goes upstairs and he knocks on the door. And he said, "Jesus, I have a question. Have you not heard the pounding at my door from Satan the last 2 nights?" And Jesus said, "Yes. But all you gave me is this one room. And you closed the door. If you want me to be the Lord of your life, you have to give me everything. You have to give me the whole house." The man, realizing that he had only given Jesus dominion over one part of his life, fell and asked for forgiveness. And Jesus said, "You let me in, let me have it all." That night there was a pounding at the door again. Before the man could get downstairs, Jesus opened the door. And as he's standing on the stairs, he's looking at Jesus standing at the door and Satan on the other side with a multitude of demons this time. And Satan looks up and he says, "Oh Jesus, I didn't know this was your house. I have the wrong address." And he walked away. You see, if you want Jesus to be the Lord of your today, he wants it all. And if you lock him aside in Sunday only, you're going to struggle Monday through Saturday and wonder where he's at. He wants all of you. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple of Paul's verses here. You see, the song that you would have heard this morning is called "The Promise." And for each of us, when we turn our lives over to Jesus, he makes a promise to us. A promise that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there for us. But the thing he also promised is that this life will not be easy. There will be many struggles. There will be many late night pounding at the door from Satan who wants you. But Jesus has promised he'll be there to answer the door. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So if you want to give God your today, and not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Thursday and Saturday night, you have to be a living sacrifice. What does that mean? There's three points I want to give you about letting him be the Lord of your life, the Lord of your whole house. The first one is, my choices reveal who reigns in my life. And what that means in terms of being a living sacrifice is that we have to be focused on Jesus and clear away all the other distractions. Think about it like this. You ever used a pair of these? Anybody got a pair of these? When you look through these, you can really see one thing that's far off in a distance really clear. And what is right around you right now is completely out of your sight. You don't even know it's there. If I focus on that clock with these, I can't even tell that there's anybody in this room. I can't see any of you. Because the only thing I can see really, really clearly is that clock. To be a living sacrifice, you got to have your spiritual binoculars focused on Jesus. And nothing else you will even see or know it exists. You say, well, what does that mean to me on a daily basis? If you want to focus on Jesus today and not have any of the distractions of this world, it doesn't mean that I don't interact and I don't know that you're there. It means quite the contrary. I know you're here, but it's in focus of what Jesus wants. And my focus is on him because I'm dialed in to see him clearly. So the things that we worry about in this life, the things that take our attention or take our distraction or take our focus, they don't really matter when you start seeing them in terms of being focused on Christ. So your choices that you make, when you start focusing on Jesus, your choices will be different. Because so often we are focused on me and what makes me happy and me comfortable and what I want. But when I start thinking about what does Jesus want, my choices become different. The problem with that is sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we want to stop playing Simon Says because somebody else is in control and I want to be. The second thing I want you to remember, changing the patterns in your life will change your life. What do I mean by that? Look at verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So there's a couple of things we need to zero in and get real focused on in this verse. Number one, anybody ever tried to find God's will and you just, I don't know what it is. I try, but I don't know what it is. Look at this verse again. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let who transform you? God. That means I can't, right? God has to transform me. Then when God transforms me, I'm a new person, and the way I think changes. And after God has transformed me and I am focused on Him and the way I think changes, then what happens? You will know God's will. I got another school game. Some of y'all, it's been so long since y'all been in school, y'all don't remember any of this stuff. I know some of y'all didn't have whiteboards when you were in school. Y'all didn't even have chalkboards. What goes there? Why? What goes there?
Triangle.
Because why? It's a pattern, right? It's a pattern. If some of you start looking at the patterns in your life, you see, Jesus comes in, I take him to his room, I lock him in there, and I go about my life, and then Satan's pounding at the door, and I'm trying to handle it. I can't figure out why I end up drunk every Saturday night. You know what? Stop going to the bar. It don't go there. Some of the stuff that we bring into our life is because of a pattern we keep falling in. We don't change the pattern. I don't understand why I don't have enough money at the end of the month. Look what you're spending your money on. When you start to follow the same old pattern, you can anticipate what's going to happen. And yeah, there's a triangle goes there because that's what's always gone there. I go through my week. I work really hard. At the end of the week, Saturday, I go to the bar. I don't know why I end up drunk. Stop going to the bar. When you start changing the pattern in your life, God will transform you. But until I'm a living sacrifice that gives Him the entire house, I can anticipate what's coming next. And some of us are just so dumb we never figure it out. I just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I don't know what happens. Drop down with me. The third thing I want to share with you. Trade your will for God's will. Drop down to verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is the gift of giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Here's the thing. God has created you. He has given you gifts. If you are a Christian and you are still breathing on this earth, He's got something He wants you to do today. If you don't know what that is, focus on Him. Change the patterns and use your gift. You have one. You have at least one. He's promised you that. And He wants you to use it today, not tomorrow. Well, I used to, you know how many church members through my career I've heard, I used to, you know what? It don't matter what you used to do. It don't matter what you used to do. Oh, I used to visit, and you know what? I don't care. What have you done today? We serve a God who is about today. And He wants you to serve Him today. Look at verse 9, because this is really important. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Y'all ever known anybody that was fake? I'm going to tell you, in the first church that I was at right out of seminary, there was a lady in our church. This lady was so incredibly sweet that you would have thought it's completely fake. You would have met her and you would say, that's as fake as the day is long. That woman ain't real. She was so sweet, she'd give you a cavity. But you know what? It was real. It was genuinely real because she was so focused on God that He transformed her into something that in this world looks completely fake. You need to let God transform you into something that looks completely fake to this world. They will look at you and go, there's no way you're real. And you will find out when you don't pretend, when you let God have control of your life and you stop the patterns and focus on Him, today can be incredible. But you have to stop focusing on yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. And be so zeroed in on Him that you can't see anything else in this world. Because really and truly, the only thing that matters is what does God want? When you live like that, your life is transformed. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You love us enough to have died for us. And Father, I pray for each one of us in this room that our focus on You and today and how much You love us and how much You want to transform our lives will come into full focus. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.